I'll tell you what it says in there because it looks like the font's a bit too small. Self-improvement books, visits to the gym, thick makeup, a bit of Botox. What do these all have in common? They try to improve you. Okay, and if you've seen adverts for these things, you probably know that it's not very uncommon for them to advertise that they can make a brand new you. They can make a brand new you. Add a bit of plastic surgery, and the dream comes true. Ta-da! Brand new you. And I was thinking, why do we need, why do people want a brand new them, brand new me? Why do I need all these improvements? Why? Also, have you noticed that all religions, pretty much all religions on in the world, they try to offer a way to help you straighten things up with divinity. Okay? Make things right with divinity. Why make things right? Is there anything wrong between us and divinity? Why self-improvement? Why making things right? What, is there anything wrong? Maybe somewhere down inside of us we feel that something is not quite right. We feel that we're not exactly what we should be or what we could be. We are not content with who we are. Why is that so? Could it be because we are fallen beings? Could it be because that we were once created perfect and now in our fallen state we acutely feel that imperfection? We were created to have a relationship with our Maker, and now that that relationship is broken, we kind of feel that breakdown. Now, if that's the case, if that's why we feel this way, then no amount of self-improvement, no amount of any of those things will help us in any way, no matter what external or internal changes we make. We will not achieve that contentment, will still be left wanting. And if you look at some plastic surgeries that went completely wrong, you think, oh dear, shouldn't have tried in the first place. It's just added to the misery. Money gone and not looking any better. And also following a religion. I've seen people, I've met people that are deeply religious and yet deeply miserable. Just following a religion is no assurance that you will have that deep contentment that you want. That's a bit of a desperate situation, isn't it? If all this self-improvement work fails, then are we condemned to a life of misery? Well, what if somebody could really offer you a brand new you? What if somebody could perform not skin surgery, but soul surgery? What if someone could truly give you a new identity? One that blows your mind away. Would you be interested? And speaking of blowing your mind away, the very first person to have been offered this brand new him, his mind was blown away. I mean, this person that received the offer from Jesus, this was an educated man, he was rich, and he was famous. He was a member of the Jewish parliament, he was educated to the highest levels of Mosaic law, and he himself was a professor in Israel. Actually, Jesus calls him the teacher of Israel, the rabbi. Looks like he had a very high rank. Also, he was a very wealthy person. A person of this rank in society had wealth, and part being wealthy was part of it in order to be accepted. And later on in the Gospel of John, we read that this person made a donation quite a big donation of myrrh and aloe, which was very expensive. So we look at this person from the outside, and we think, man, he had it made. I mean, this man achieved everything one could dream about. He had education, he had wealth, he had fame, he had it all. And of course, I'm talking about Nicodemus, the person in our text. He had it all. And yet something was missing. He just felt in his heart that he needed something. And he somehow felt that this quite unknown carpenter teacher could have the secret of the things that he was looking for. And he decided to go and visit Jesus. And he decided to visit Jesus at night. Why at night? We don't quite know why for sure, but indeed Jesus wasn't really loved by everybody, and some people sincerely hated him. So Nicodemus couldn't risk his reputation by visiting Jesus and be seen. So he decides to go there at night so that this visit to such a renegade might not affect him negatively. He visits Jesus and he starts a conversation. Now, Alistair has just read that conversation. What do you think of that conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus? Well, do you like how it goes? I mean, look at how it starts. Look at what Nicodemus says and look how Jesus answers. And you go like, what? What's going on in here? I mean, Nicodemus starts with pleasantries, right? Hey. Addresses Jesus with nice words, in nice terms, and it looks like Jesus doesn't even respond to that. He goes straight to, I can give you a brand new you. And Nicodemus is like, what? And Jesus explains, I can give you a brand new you. And Nicodemus says, I don't quite get it. Could you expand on it? And Jesus explains again, and Nicodemus is none the wiser. He has no clue what Jesus is talking about. Much to his surprise, Jesus says, you are the teacher of Israel and you do not understand these things. So while we look at this text this morning, I was thinking that maybe we should look at the what and at the how of this brand new you. What does it mean to have a brand new you, and how do you get it if you are interested? First of all, the what of a brand new you. What does it mean to have a brand... By the way, Jesus doesn't really use this term, brand new you. He uses a different phrase. What phrase does he use? You have to be born again. That's what he says. He says, Nicodemus, you have to be born again. And what did Nicodemus say? In a very broad translation, he said, you have to be what? Like, no idea. He's more polite than that, but he still has no idea. Now, we need to understand that what Jesus is saying to this man was supposed to make sense to him. Because remember that Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Pharisee. What does that mean, he was a Pharisee? When we think of Pharisees, do we think good thoughts, bad thoughts about them? We tend to see them as hypocrites, as bad people. But it's interesting that this movement called Pharisees started in a good way. Actually, the word parishim means the separated ones. And that movement, almost you can call it a political party, started a few hundred years before Jesus. They loved holiness and purity. And they tried to work hard to be pure, to be holy, to observe all the minutiae of the law. Unfortunately, in the time of Jesus, it looks like all they were interested in was the outside. So this wonderful movement that started as people who loved holiness ended up as this legalistic bunch of people who kind of were critical of everyone else. So Nicodemus was one of these people who tried hard to please God by observing each and every bit of the law, even bits of the law that were added in their traditions. So the Pharisees hoped that by doing this, by keeping the rules and the rituals, they would be accepted by God. So what Jesus tells Nicodemus is that their efforts could never make them acceptable to God. He had to be born again. I mean, think about this. This man was well respected in society, was one of the leaders of Israel. He comes to this carpenter preacher, and the carpenter preacher doesn't even respond to his wonderful introduction. He goes into, you have to be born again. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And he goes like, what are you talking about? I mean, if I, the highest in Israel, am not acceptable to God, then who is? And Jesus says, well, this brand new you is not something exterior, but interior. You have to be born again. That's not a better version of you, an improved version of you. That's really a brand new you. Just like a baby is a brand new person. A born again man or woman is a brand new person. And Nicodemus is so confused, and he doesn't understand. And Jesus says, look, you really have to be born again. It's interesting that the way he explained this to Nicodemus, he doesn't explain as in, Nicodemus, you are a nice person, you are a good man, I really appreciate that about you. There is something you could do, and I suggest you should be born again. That's not what Jesus says. Actually, look at verse 3. Jesus says, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Verse 5. Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. And in verse 7, you should not be surprised at my saying that you must be born again. So this is Nicodemus, whatever you have done so far, unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And why is being born again so important? It's because without the second birth, that birth from heaven, you cannot go to heaven. Unless you are made a brand new person, says Jesus, you cannot be accepted by God. And if you want something to help you understand this, think of a piece of baked clay, right? Have you ever seen a piece of baked clay? Right. Try to stick it to the fridge. Will it stick? No. What if you put a piece of magnet in it? Will it stick now? It should, provided the clay is rather small and the magnet is rather big. And you have a fridge magnet, right? That's how you make a fridge magnet. You take a piece of clay, put a bit of magnet in it, and that magnet will attract it to the fridge. And that's pretty much what happens with our relationship with God. We in ourselves are nothing more than clay. There is nothing in us to attract us to God, and there's nothing in us to make God want us. And Jesus says, this will not happen. You need to have something in yourself that will attract us, will attract you to God. So what you need is that magnet in you that would attract you to God. What exactly is that magnet that attracts us to God? Have a look at verse 5. It says, Nicodemus, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. You have to have the Spirit of God in you that will attract you to God. The born-again person is the person that has the Spirit of God in them. It doesn't really matter how, what religion you have, how religious you are and how well you observe the things in your religion, unless you have the Spirit of God in you. You cannot be attracted by God. You are not attractive to Him. There's nothing to attract you. Well, the way Jesus puts it sounds like serious stuff. He says, you have to be born again. You must be born again. That's something you must obtain if you are to be accepted by God. So, this is a definition of a brand new you. If the clicker wants to move a bit further, no? Anybody click on the screen there? Yeah. To be born again means to have a new life, to have spiritual life in you. It means to have eternal life here and now. That is something that Nicodemus couldn't really understand. It says, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And if this is something appealing, how do you get this? How can somebody be born again? Let's have a look at that as well, the how of a brand new you. If you are interested, it sounds interesting, how can you be born again? What can you do in order to be born again? Jesus says in verse 5, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and spirit. Have a look at verse 5. What elements can you see there for being born again? There seem to be two elements, water and spirit. And I have to admit that becoming Christian and reading this text by myself, I thought, well, there seem to be two elements here. The spirit seems to be the Holy Spirit, and the water, probably baptism, I thought. In order, if you want to be born again, you have to be baptized, and it's also the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what I believed. What do you think? Is this a good interpretation? Is that the water of baptism that's needed in there? Because if you believe that it is baptism that's meant in here, we know at least of a person in the Bible that made it to heaven without being baptized? Who? Yeah. It was the thief on the cross. He died there next to Jesus. He was not baptized, and yet he was accepted into heaven. So this water cannot be baptism. Then what could it be? And again, it's very important when we read the Bible and we try to interpret, we need to think of the context. Who was Jesus talking to here? Who? Nicodemus. And he was a Pharisee, and he was the teacher of Israel. And a bit later, Jesus says, how comes that you, the teacher of Israel, don't understand these things? You should understand. Why was Nicodemus expected to understand these things? Why did Jesus say, well, you should be able to understand this? Because he knew the Old Testament. So there must be some Old Testament texts that speak about the water and speak about the Spirit. One such text could be Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25. If you want to open to Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25, and if you would like to read it for us, that would be great. Ezekiel 36, 25. It's interesting. Who is talking here? Who says, I will? Who is this I? It's God. God says, I will do something for you. I'm going to cleanse you. I will make you clean. I will delete all your impurities. And remember last Sunday we were talking about the water that Israelites used to use as a ceremonial cleansing. They were used to the idea of water used for cleansing. But God here in Ezekiel speaks of a special type of water that he will sprinkle on them and cleanse them. So it points towards God as being the one who brings about this cleansing. Also, since you are in chapter 36, if you just look at chapter 37, we're not going to read the whole chapter, but what is that chapter all about? It is a vision of? Yeah, a valley full of what? Dry bones. And Ezekiel starts to prophesy. What happens when he starts to prophesy? Those bones begin to grow flesh and skin, and there is a huge army, but something has to happen for them to stand up and have life. The breath of God, the Spirit of God has to come on them. So he says, Jesus says to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, can you not remember the scriptures? The scripture says, I will do this. It's God doing this cleansing through a special water. And it's God through his Holy Spirit that brings life. It's not something that you humans can do. And Ezekiel mentioned these things a few hundred years before Nicodemus was even born. So Jesus says, look, it's actually the work of God, is the Spirit of God that brings life. And what Jesus says, now is the time for these prophecies to come true. Now is the time to experience this cleansing with this special water. Now is the time for the Spirit to bring new life. So back to our question, what exactly can I do to get this brand new me? How can I be born again? Well, I'm going to explain what we can do. We can do exactly what we did to be born physically. Precisely nothing. There is nothing we can do to be born again. And you go like, wait a minute, nothing? Then how do I get to be born again? Just like the first time. The first time when I was born, it was my parents who gave me life. In the second birth, there is nothing I can do. It is God giving me life. It is the work of God. There is nothing that I can do. I can just believe it and accept it. You see, unlike my first birth, there is a difference between first birth and second birth. You know, in the second birth, nobody asked me whether I wanted to be born or not. Okay, I wasn't around to be asked. But in the second birth, there is this invitation from God to be born again, to get this brand new you. And God says, if you want it, it's on offer. There's nothing you can do to get it. You can only ask, and it is given to you. You can say, yes, I want it, or I can say, no, thank you. The decision is yours. And you see, this second birth is 100% the work of God. There is nothing you can do to be born again. The only thing you can do is to believe it and accept it.
And Nicodemus is still confused. Why is he still confused? When Jesus explained it so clearly to him, why is he still confused? You know that even today people are so confused when you explain them how to be saved? You say, believe in the Lord Jesus and you are saved. And they will go like, I'm not quite sure. Why? It's because we grew up in a mentality of works. I have to do something. What can I do to be saved? If you tell me that I have to give money to the poor, if you tell me that I have to be good to my neighbor, if you tell me that I have so many things to do, go to church, whatever, then kind of makes sense. But to do nothing? And Jesus says, exactly, you need to do nothing. And because Nicodemus knew the Old Testament, in verses 14 and 15, he gives him an illustration. And Jesus says something like this. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness. Could anybody remind me what's this whole story of a snake in the wilderness? Why did Moses lift up a snake in the wilderness? A bronze snake. Mm-hmm. So what happened when Israel was coming out of Egypt and going towards Canaan? At some point in the wilderness, they grumbled against God. I mean, they kept grumbling all the time. And at some point, God says, look, you are not happy with your situation. Remember, I took you out of slavery. I'm taking you to a wonderful country. You are on the run now. I know. It's difficult, but stop grumbling. But they kept grumbling. And because they kept grumbling, God allowed these snakes to come and bit them. And they came to Moses and says, Moses, pray for us, sort out this problem, take the snakes away. Moses prays to God, but God does not take the snakes away. Instead, what he does, he makes this bronze serpent, he puts it on a pole and says, look, if you are bitten by a snake, you have to do what? Look at this one and you will be saved. So Jesus says, that's exactly what you need to do. You know, Israel is bitten by a snake. What could they, as individuals, do? Could they heal themselves? No. Did they have a medicine? No. They could just die. That's all they could do. But looking at this snake, they were healed. And Jesus says, that's exactly what you need to do. I'm going to be lifted just like that. And if you want to be saved, you need to do exactly that. You need to look. You need to look at Jesus lifted up on the cross. You need to believe that He is the Son of God and you are saved. When you look at Jesus and you accept Him as a Savior, something happens on the inside. What Jesus mentioned, the cleansing. That moment you are cleansed by God. He takes away all your sins. Maybe you have a lot of them, maybe you have a few of them. Doesn't really matter. They are all taken away. Not only that, but that's the moment when you are made a brand new you. You are changed. You receive a new life. You receive the life of God in you. And Jesus explains a bit further so that Nicodemus has no doubt what he was talking about. Nicodemus says, for God so loved the world. Jesus says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Nicodemus, all your efforts, all your trying, all your self-improvement is not going to help you. You need to believe in the Son of God who came to die for you in order to have eternal life. So I want to finish this morning and ask this question. Is there anybody here this morning that would like to be a brand new person? Is there anybody who would like to have all their sins forgiven? They would like to have the Spirit of God living in them? You probably think, well, how can I have that? Well, just look at Jesus. Just believe that He was lifted on that cross for you. And you have that new life. And I also would like to address us that maybe have become Christians for some time now, maybe 10 years, 20 years. And maybe, yeah, we have that new life in us, but the old life seems to take a lot of time and a lot of energy. And yeah, we have that new life in us, but the old life is still there. We still pay attention to that old life. Maybe this morning we should come to God and say, renew your spirit within me.
Fill me with your spirit. May your spirit overflow in me. Jesus came to make us brand new people, not an improved version of us, not a better version of us, but brand new people. And this completeness of life is available to us. And although being made new is just an event, whenever you believe in Jesus, you are made new, that's it. That's not the end of the story. As we will see later in the Gospel of John, we need to grow in that. But we always need to go back in our minds to the first day when we became Christians, the first day when we accepted Jesus, that day when we were made new. And we need to continue to pray, God, continue to renew me. And I really enjoyed that we had a song that says, refine as fire, cleanse me, renew me, purify me. We need that. But it all starts here, with looking at Jesus on the cross and being saved. Remember that, I want to finish with this. Remember that the book of John is actually not a book about Nicodemus or about another character. It's a book about Jesus. And John wanted to show Jesus to us that he's the Son of God, that he's not just a human being, that they saw his glory, and he wants to help us to see his glory. So let's have a time of prayer and meditation now. When we think of Jesus, we think of Jesus lifted on the cross, and yet he showed his glory in there. Only a perfect person could die there for us and for us in order to be forgiven. Let us appreciate his sacrifice for us. And let us pray, Jesus, continue to renew me. Change me. And if you are not born again, and if you want to know more, please come at the end and ask. But now, in front of God, say, change me and give me this brand new life. Let's pray.